The stereo recording you have just heard of a muzzle-loaded bronze cannon of the type used by Napoleon in his 1812 Russian campaign brings to the minds of most record enthusiasts Tchaikovsky's colorful overture 1812, as recorded in its original scoring by Mercury in 1954. We will take you behind the scenes for some of the interesting problems encountered in preparing stereophonically the effect called for by Tchaikovsky in this festive piece. The cannon shots heard on this record are those of a French 12-pounder siege cannon made in Douai, France, in 1775. Number 87 from famed Trophy Point at the U.S. Military Academy, rather touchingly inscribed Le Constant, the Faithful. Only with the helpful cooperation of the authorities and technical experts at the U.S. Military Academy were we able to make this stereophonic recording of actual cannon fire, since the Academy is one of the few places in the world where such field pieces are kept serviceable. To make this stereophonic recording, preparations had to be made weeks in advance. Curator Gerald C. Stowe had to select a weapon that was authentic and yet safe to withstand the powerful charge needed for the firing. A special carriage of heavy oak was constructed for the cannon, which weighed over 1.5 tons. The woods near Building 706 and Delafield Road at West Point had been chosen as the site for the firing, and the roads nearby had to be blocked off. A safety crew and ambulance were prudently on hand for the day's activities and for the testing before the firing. The day of the firing, in mid-July, was scorching and humid. The large van of technical equipment used for stereophonic recording was on hand by 8 a.m., as were the various crews involved with the work. The first job was to place the three microphones that were to be used for the three-channel stereo recording. These were strung from ropes hung between trees in the heavily wooded area used for the firing. While the recording crew prepared the equipment, black powder was placed in 1- and 2-pound paper bags, and damp newspapers were made up for wadding. Now the ambulance crew is standing by. The signal is given for the first firing. Well, that sounded very good. But we decided to try again, using more gunpowder and altering the microphone position slightly. That was not so good. Did you hear that tinny ringing in the background? Further microphonic adjustments were made while the crew swabbed out the cannon. Once again now. Still that tinny sound. What could it be? Well, after some searching, a huge oil tank was located several yards from the left microphone, and it was the vibrations of that tank that were being picked up. The tank certainly looked too big to move, but the cadets rallied round and finally managed to roll the giant barrel down a hillside. A fourth shot proved to be free of the ringing, but was not so good because of improper wadding. The crew took care of that. Well, we have visitors. Now let's try the cannon once more. The cannon shots were taken home and edited under calmer circumstances, and it's the first shot that is heard over the music on this recording. That shot had the most realistic timbre and was the best spread over the three stereo channels. To record the Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial Carillon at the Riverside Church, A clear spring day was chosen. The recording crew was on hand at 7 a.m., and the special mobile recording truck parked on Riverside Drive. Hundreds of feet of cable were installed up the full height of the 392-foot tower in which the bells were housed. One slight complication in recording the carillon was that it can be played at certain hours only during the week, at which time a definite musical program is scheduled. Thanks to the wholehearted cooperation of Mr. Carroll B. Fitch and the carillonneur, Dr. Camille Lefebvre, we had arranged for the clamorous ringing of the bells following the 11 a.m. regular Saturday carillon recital. For the desired three-channel stereo effects of depth and direction, as well as spread, the left microphone was hung in the lower chamber, right in the midst of the ponderous bass bells, one of which, by the way, weighs 40,926 pounds and is the largest tuned bell in the world. The center microphone was hung at the top of the belfry near the high-pitched bells. The right microphone was placed near the clavier room in the midst of the medium bells. Arranged vertically in this way, all the microphones would pick up all the bells, but each would emphasize a part of the pitch spectrum. Talkback equipment for communicating with the van was also installed at the top of the tower. During the recital, after the equipment had been carefully checked, some of the recording personnel stood viewing the breathtaking panorama of Manhattan and the Hudson River from the tower, while others watched the carillonneur as he vigorously struck with the sides of his hands the powerful levers which control the giant instrument. Only 6 out of the 74 bells of the carillon are played with electric pneumatic assistance. All the others are played by hand and foot. The bells were rung for this recording 3 times. The first time, with high and middle bells only, sounded like this. Carillon at the Riverside Church was chosen because of the vast range of its 74 bells, as well as for its beautiful sonority, and the recording staff felt that a richer sound could be captured from the carillon than the one just heard. A test of the high bells alone was decided in order to determine the brilliance of the spectrum of the carillon. That's just the effect needed from the high bells. Now for the full range of the carillon. In the background, you can hear mechanical noises as the giant bells start to ring.
Thank you.
That's quite a sound, isn't it? Just now, one of the church officials appeared to tell the crew that the church switchboard was being deluged with calls to determine the cause of the unscheduled ringing. Because such pealing of bells is generally a heralding of great joy or deep sorrow. After the musical performance, the canon tape and the carol on recording were edited, the three tapes synchronized musically, and a two-channel stereo tape made from the various three-channel stereo recordings, so that this stereo disc could be manufactured for home playback equipment. And now for a festive closing, here are the cannon shots and carillon as heard on the final edited tape.